Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast presented to you by Merger Market and SS&C Intralinks. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been covering M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're heading to the US to continue our 2023 roundup of M&A in the different regions. Plus, we'll be looking ahead to what's in store for the different sectors during the rest of 2024. I spoke to Joshua Armstrong, who is the Deputy Managing Editor for North America. Hi, Josh. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi. Great to be here.
So let's start with a recap of 2023. What were the major themes of last year and how do you expect they'll affect the rest of the year ahead, 2024?
Well, in 2023, overall deal volumes were down. Things were coming off the sugar highs of 2021 and 2022 when pandemic era easy money was really, really fueling investment as well as M&A. Multiples were very, very, I'd say, aggressive. Some would say crazy, some would say in line, depending, but they were definitely aggressive. And so the M&A market really fell down in 2023. A big, big part of the market that disappeared were private equity exits. We still have not seen a lot of momentum yet in early 2024 regarding these. A lot of people are pointing to the second half of this year to see that momentum start to build. One of the reasons, obviously, if multiples aren't where you're at and you don't have to get out, you don't. If you can hold, you hold. And the ones that were due, continuation funds led by GPs and other types of secondary sales have kept these investments within the PE funds and waiting for the appropriate multiples. So with that, what is PE spending their money on? Well, add-ons had a big year last year. And so we expect to continue to see this until exits start to happen again, because again, the money has to go somewhere. In terms of add-ons, roll-up strategies are obviously popular. One thing that we're keeping an eye on is the FTC's lawsuit against Welsh Carson. It's a pretty novel lawsuit in which the FTC sued over the competitive effects of a PE roll-up strategy. This is not something a lot of people have seen before. We haven't seen this cool a lot of deal-making as of yet. Potentially, the outcome of this case might have some effects, but it's just something we're keeping an eye on. The government has been aggressive in suing to block mergers recently under the Biden administration. However, it's still been a banner year for mega deals as well. So, you know, the cooling effects of the government, you know, may be a little bit overblown, depending on how you look at it.
Great. And can we talk through some of the other trends that you've seen with divestments and take privates and also private credits, please?
So divestitures, they outpaced all the previous years in the pandemic and going back into the 2010s. It was a very strong year. Corporates, you know, with credit as it was, with borrowing costs as it was, were looking to shore up their operations, shore up their balance sheets. We're looking for cash. We're looking for liquidity and just pare down operations that weren't really bringing in things that, you know, maybe they thought. But so far this year, there's been very weak activity in corporate divestitures. There's still a couple of big ones on the pipeline, such as Carrier Global has their industrial alarm unit that should be a multi-billion dollar sale coming down the pipe soon, as well as a joint venture between Lockheed Martin and Boeing, that's the United Launch Alliance, that has been on the block in a process since, I mean, it's been reported since March. It seems to be in a late process with both strategic and private equity buyers, but those are two big divestitures coming down the pike. However, overall volume is very, very low so far this year, so maybe that trend has stalled. Take privates, they were another positive force in the M&A market last year, especially as stock market valuations dipped. Stock market is back up, so we'll see where that is. However, some sectors such as consumer, where there are still concerns such as supply chain issues, as well as overheated sectors that relied on SPACs to go to IPO, such as space technology, those have a lot of companies that are still ripe for take privates. And then just last but not least, I did want to make mention of a big force in the market, which is private credit. As traditional banks retrenched last year, private credit stepped in and you know, facilitated M&A early on in the year. I talked with a banker and he told me that private credit saved the market. I'm not sure about that. However, it certainly did help a lot of deals go through, and it certainly did make a lot of sponsors a lot of coin as well. From what I've been seeing from reporting out there, you know, LPs still like the strategy. There's still a lot of money going into these private credit funds. So they may have cemented a larger role in the marketplace on a more permanent basis, not just simply when banks retrench. We'll have to see.
And can we spend the rest of the conversation looking at the different sectors and what we can expect to see in those different sectors during 2024? Let's start with oil and gas. There were two huge deals announced last year with two of the world's biggest oil companies, Chevron and ExxonMobil. Is that spending spree expected to continue?
Yes, to some extent. Will we see the $50 billion plus price tags that we saw from Exxon and Chevron's respective acquisitions? I'm not sure about that. However, when you talk about mega deals, when we talk about deals $10 billion and up, we recently saw one from Occidental before the end of the year as well. Yes, observers are expecting that overseas buyers outside of North America are looking to buy into North American assets, and that will drive consolidation not only from those buyers, but also from U.S. firms that also need to, you know, keep competitive ground. The average deal size in the oil and gas sector was nearly $1 billion last year. That was the highest since at least 1995. So will it still reach those levels? You know, maybe not, but there's still some mega deals that could come this year, and that momentum is continuing.
And what about the industrial sector?
As I mentioned before, with the United Launch Alliance sale likely soon, that's part of the aerospace sector. And aerospace has remained a resilient sector throughout both downturns, the beginning of the pandemic, as well as 2023 when the credit markets tightened. You know, that had another banner year, another, we mentioned the Carrier Global divestiture as well. HVAC, those types of services have seen a lot of momentum and are seeing the multiples that sellers like to sell at. So those that M&A there will keep churning along. Metals also had a outperforming year last year, a lot likely thanks to the sale of U.S. steel to Nippon. However, the volume there was significant as compared to other sectors.
And looking at the consumer space, there were also a number of mega deals there. What's expected in consumers during 2024?
So yes, there were also large deals there. As I mentioned before, supply chain issues may hinder a little bit of valuations there in the public market. So take privates could dive in there as well. But really, really, there are a lot of long-held PE companies as well as companies like Giovanni, who are ripe to IPO sometime soon. Maybe that's, you know, going to happen even in a quiet IPO market. But for the PE exits, everyone's pointing to the second half of 2023 to see if that's going to happen in the consumer.
Great. And a couple more sectors to finish off with. Financial services, what are you expecting there?
Yeah. Well, in financial services, you know, consumer banking for one, in the U.S., obviously, after Silicon Valley Bank and several other of the largest failures in the history of the country, deal volume just stalled. As you can imagine, the assets weren't there. The buyers weren't there because they their stocks tanked and they didn't have the currency to do so. The stock market has revived in these companies, or the public stock has revived and gotten back to great levels for these companies. So they do have the currency to make buys. So acquisitions of community banks, acquisitions of the small regionals, consolidation of the regional banks, that's back in play, some of our observers have told us.
Great. And finishing off, can we have a quick look at the TMT sector, particularly AI with the proliferation of tools like ChatGPT?
Yes, yes. So while AI did get a lot of headlines and has received a lot of investment, especially from VC, as well as some strategics like Microsoft into OpenAI over the last couple of years, in terms of M&A volume, it hasn't really panned out into these larger deals quite just yet. However, this might be the year that those investments turn into M&A volume. You obviously have a lot of large strategics out there, Amazon, Meta, Microsoft, Apple, you know, all these were names that we were hearing as potential buyers of AI tech that's really ripening and been maturing in the VC pipelines. But really looking at niche players such as those in the legal tech space or in voice AI like 11 Labs or sort of open source AI coding, something with a little bit more of a niche angle, those might be the likely targets.
Brilliant. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on that during the year. Josh, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Joshua Armstrong, who's the Deputy Managing Editor for North America. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market and SS&C Intralinks. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening on Apple, please rate and review the show. And if you want to find out more about what we've been discussing, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.